Hey, call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Editing notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Mrs. Cusick?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Meeting's over.
Shortest meeting.
Now I don't feel so bad when I did that at the Harbor Commission meeting.
Wishful thinking, city executive.
Nap time. So now we're going to be moving on to approval of previous meeting minutes, the May 18th, 2023 special joint meeting, and June 8th, 2023 regular meeting minutes and executive session. Need a motion and a second.
I'll move that. Dougherty?
Crowley seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
The minutes have been approved.
Okay. Now our proclamation. Whereas on July 2nd, 1776, New Jersey became the fourth American colony to adopt the Constitution declaring independence from Great Britain. It was composed in 5 days, and although the delegates considered it a temporary charter, it remained New Jersey state constitution for 68 years. And whereas, after unanimous approval by the 13 colonies on July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted and signed by John Hancock, then President of the Continental Congress. And whereas, the freedoms that were won at the birth of our nation are defended every day by the dedicated service of members of the United States Armed Forces, past and present. And whereas 2023 marks the 247th anniversary of our nation's Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. Now, therefore, I, Loretta Gluckstein, Mayor of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, do hereby proclaim the month of July as National Independence Observation Month in recognition and commemoration of the many citizens and service members who have sacrificed their lives, fortune, and sacred honor in pursuit or protection of our freedom and liberties. Given under my hand and seal of the office this 22nd day of June 2023. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
Very patriotic. And now we have no unfinished business, so we're going to go right straight to the workshop discussion, the EMS task force.
Let me skip them another chair. Hey, Jim, is there another chair in there? It's probably easier to cut that one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That makes sense.
There we go.
No fun.
Right. Gang, do you mind pulling the microphones in closer to you so that anybody that's online can hear you?
Please. Is that good?
What?
Object.
There you go.
You sound great, Zach.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
This task force was convened almost 2 years ago with a dual mandate, a two-part mission, to bring solutions to the governing body as to how the mayor and council can ensure the continuity of the Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad and to reduce or eliminate the need for third-party EMS service, JFK, that we have coming us during the daytime hours. So Brian's going to get us started with a sort of a history, a rundown of how we got to this point and the process that we went through.
So basically, good evening. Happy birthday. As Zach said, again, 2 years ago, trying to have a possible option for the squad, there were a variety of solutions which we came forward with, including moving to a full-time paid service, option of a hybrid, different hybrid options of service, including third-party coverage during daytime hours. Some of the, they each have different benefits. Option A would be keep things the way they are. Paid service during the day, spend the $90,000 or $100,000, and volunteer at night. That would be easiest. Option D would be a paid volunteer hybrid system, which would allow or involve paid staff during daytime hours and volunteers at night with a soft billing option. A soft billing option, if implemented, would bring a whole different issues where we have to have a grid certified in a different format than they are right now. And we have to be every year going. Have them insured, inspected, regulated, and so forth. The Department of Health instead of the EMS Council would have to adhere to their standards. So, no doubt, the option C would be a full-time paid service. Borough of Atlantic Highlands would begin a full-time service in place of the current volunteer squad, implementing by a third party, similar to what we have right now, full-time, but it would be all 24 hours a day. Residents would receive bills for their basic life support, BLS, first aid calls, in addition to bills they already received from advanced life support calls. It would not only require the town hiring full-time EMTs and inspection of the rigs by the Department of Health, but in addition, there'd be a billing collection period. Option D, which was uncovered, would be a full volunteer revival, increasing the memberships, be able to cover days and nights. Option E will be regionalized. As you may recall, last year we had actually looked into possible regionalization, so we'll be more involved with that. The EMS Task Force has conversations with the Department of Community Affairs, Rick Riccinelli, in particular with the spearhead along with some of his liaisons. During these conversations, we learned about availability of local efficiency program, LEAP grant. This grant has been offered through the state DCA for up to $150,000 to examine the potential benefits of regionalized EMS systems, possibly including Highlands, Seabright, or other local municipalities. If the regionalization was found to be economical and economically beneficial, there is a grant of up to $300,000 to assist with the implementation and the regionalization. This idea has been discussed amongst the squads and provides numerous logistical difficulties. For instance, Seabright in the summertime, you can imagine beach traffic. Our residents would see a 30 to 40 minute delay because everyone exits the beach, whether it be from San Diego or Seabright. This regionalization has also been successfully implemented in boroughs like Belmar, Lake Como, Seeker, and Manasquan. So there are potential where it does work, but logistically for us, it just doesn't seem to be a possibility. Option F would be hire a third party full time. We're currently paying JFK HMH $90,000 per year as a part-time shared service agreement with Highlands for basic life support coverage for the hours from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If we were to cease to exist, the town could hire a third party for 24/7 coverage. This cost has been estimated at approximately $250,000. That cost would basically be the 24 hours a day plus the weekends. Right now, we cover weekends. Or Atlantic Highlands First Aid covers the weekends. And the last option, option D, would be no coverage at all. Atlantic Highlands is not required by state law to provide EMS coverage, unfortunately, but with the fire department, they are required. So that would be option G. Did I cover everything?
I think that's everything. Thank you. So in terms of recommendations, we're going to operate under the framework that for now, unless council decides to take some action on one of those options that Brian laid out, we're going to operate under the assumption that things will maintain status quo, and we have recommendations from there. And I've broken these down into short-term immediate term. We don't really have any long-term recommendations because everything really needs to be either short or medium term. So the first recommendation that we have in the short-term category is a leadership succession plan. The borough would request a leadership succession plan from the squad, and the squad has done a great job over the last year, largely thanks to Lance Huebner's leadership. But if Lance is unwilling or unable to continue, arrangements need to be made for the next chief. The deliverable here would be a written plan to guide leadership decisions in preparation for the possibility that Lance's term as chief ends at the end of 2023. This is a way to protect the progress that we've made so far and try to build on it moving forward. Fundraising. The annual fund drive letter should inform residents that there is a problem. The squad right now is actually working on this letter, and the council may want to suggest that the squad include some language to actually alert the people of the town that there is a problem. Anecdotally, we've heard of people who have no idea that the squad has been having difficulties. Some people think that this is a paid squad, which we are very much not. So just to kind of inform the public and let people know that we're struggling, we have a lot of great residents in town. I'm sure they'd love to help out. The council may consider suggesting engaging a fundraising consultant to help craft a message and a strategy to increase donations. The borough recently approved a grant writing firm. So they may suggest the grant writing firm search for grants related to state and federal funds to help upgrade the equipment of the squad and so forth. The borough could also undertake specific efforts alongside the squad, in addition to the squad, to help raise awareness and bring attention to the cause. Another recommendation is that either the borough or the harbor or both increase their donation to the squad. That donation has been static for 8 years. Mr. Fogina did some research for us and was only able to go back to 2015, but it has been the same $13,000 from the town, $13,000 from the harbor, $26,000 total, as far back as we could tell. It may be longer than that. Inflation has really reduced the spending power that this contribution affords the squad to use it for. We're also suggesting an increase in LOSAP contributions. LOSAP is a valuable perk for the members of the first aid squad and for the fire department, and the amount of contribution has been increased since the program's introduction, but not enough to keep pace with inflation. So indexing the maximum LOSAP contribution to the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, would allow this contribution to continue to be a valuable asset to the volunteers well into the future. So that's what we have for the short-term recommendations. In terms of medium term, the first one again here focuses on something that the squad can do, the council can ask for from the squad in order to increase the likelihood of stability and positive change moving forward. And this centers around a 3 to 5 year strategic plan. So in addition to the leadership succession plan, that would be a more short-term outlook. What are we doing? What is the squad doing next year in terms of leadership? This is a more lengthy, a more voluminous strategic plan that the borough would request from the squad. It would be a multi-page document indicating plans from the first aid to sustain and build on the positive changes, formalize processes, build a framework to continue improving the quality of response, and implement a financial roadmap to include maintenance of and replacement of squad apparatus. Another recommendation here is soft billing. So as Brian discussed, if the squad were to engage in soft billing, and soft billing is just trying to collect whatever you can from the insurance of the patient. The patient has no insurance, no attempt is made at collection, no resident of town would ever receive a bill of any kind under a soft billing program. If the squad were to begin soft billing on their own or hiring a third party, if they are collecting any revenue, our understanding is that the squad would no longer qualify as a volunteer organization.
Okay.
And that would have, obviously, a lot of ramifications for better or worse. But what we're not sure of is, would the borough be able to maybe engage a third party billing entity to do this soft billing? The borough would collect the revenue directly and be put into the general fund of the borough, this May if the council were to decide to increase the donation and/or the LoSAP contribution. This might be a sort of indirect way to offset some of those costs to the borough. Again, First Aid would have no involvement, but may indirectly benefit if this facilitated the above point. And so that's what we have for medium term. We do also have an immediate ask, something that the task force is asking for from the mayor and council tonight. We're asking for a resolution from the mayor and council. We are not the only town that is having these kinds of difficulties maintaining a robust EMS system, and the state of New Jersey really needs to be put on notice. And Councilman Dougherty, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I'll wait till you're finished, but yes.
Okay. Councilman Dougherty may have more on that later.
Maybe.
That's what we have in terms of recommendations.
So, when we started this, we always thought that it was just Highlands and ourselves because we jointly collaborated with them with this $90,000 per year program. But what we began to see is this problem just is not us, Seabright, Highlands. It's larger towns like Middletown as well. Middletown has numerous squads and they can't get to their calls. We've received, being on the squad, we've received countless phone calls as Zach can attest. And, for covering Middletown when they just don't have coverage. When Chief Hubley was chief last in 2017, he had 49 members, and now we're down to 28. So many people, I don't like, Zach uses the word problem. It is a problem because we obviously have problems fielding calls and we're incurred a $90,000 coverage, but at the same time, if we could actually boost the numbers of the squad, maybe with some help from the town, putting on the website or putting on the kiosk here or there, or if we do a member drive with maybe some assistance somehow, if we could boost those numbers, that'd be great. But then in 2017, the squad of 49 members answered 640 calls. It's a lot of calls. And everybody says right now, oh, you're doing 340 calls for us so far compared to HMH during the day. Why can't we cover the day? Well, the problem is there's not a lot of people around during the day. With the increase of LoSAP or increase, one of the options would be with an increase of the stipend we get from the borough and from the harbor, may be able to increase the possible stipend which is given to the volunteers for calls. When a EMS or an EMT goes out on a call right now, they're having problems getting $27 or $25, excuse me, for someone to just be an EMT. And the average call takes an hour and a half. So $37.50 to go out on a call, it's a lot of, you know.
I'm sorry to interrupt. You said it was $25 per EMT?
Well, no. Right now, the squad gives a $20 stipend.
Okay, $20.
If you answer a call.
Okay.
But right now, EMT services are having problems finding people at $25 an hour.
Paid services.
Services. And with the average call is an hour and a half, that's $37.50. Right. So, I mean, even if we increase our stipend just a little bit to the individuals with the help of the borough through either the harbor and the joint collaboration with the town, that might be able to help attract more people. Maybe we can get some seniors who are home retired that may want to start utilizing their time to better serve the community, or maybe during the summertime some college kids who are home want to go out and get their EMT classes and get certified. So that may attract that way with an individual on the squad who answers quickly the calls and he's in college. You know, but if we can attract more younger people and older people that are around during the day.
And what does that entail to get your EMT? So I mean, how many hours and how long?
250 or 240.
What was that?
250 hours.
250? Okay.
And the classes are not offered that often. Like, there's only a certain time, certain times of the year that they're offering it.
That's right. Yeah, so stuff like in our we could implement that in our resolution or suggest that or something.
And that's one of the things. Besides just going to the classes for the hours, there's also locates.
So that's at least an hour or 2 hours
each class. 24 hours.
Yeah.
And who pays for those classes?
The squad does. Squad.
Does anybody else have questions?
I have questions.
Yeah,
so I know that you were talking about regionalizing and or coming together. Did you look at the fire department at all like coming together with them or?
So that was one of the things that it was supposed to be in this, we were trying to have a live document and apologies at that.
Okay.
Yes, years ago, I was, right at this point, I would say probably about 50 plus years ago, the first aid squad was underneath the fire department. Is it a good idea? I don't know. It's something that, you know, you would have to look into, what are the pros, what are the cons of it? But if you do for the first aid squad, since they would be under the fire department, you'd get the responsibility, full responsibility of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would become part of the fire department. For all the rigs, all the apparatus, all the everything, training, just like you do with the fire department. Some people also, some of the, we believe, first aiders or EMS are not too keen on that because they don't want to go underneath the fire department. One of the reasons is because years ago, you had to join the fire department for a year in order to be even recognized or to become a member. Because they were thought that everybody was going to run to be, you know, mm-hmm. first aiders, EMS.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case because some people can handle that, some people can't handle running in a burning building. But that's something else that we did want to make a recommendation,
mm-hmm.
Is that that's a possibility, mm-hmm. but that's something that would really have to be done by, you know, the fire officers.
Well, beyond even the fire department, I know many years ago there was a thought of going countywide. Now,
I was just going to say that, John.
Yeah, and so, and I know I've heard all the different various reasons why that didn't work, but clearly we're in a different time where so many towns, as you said, are having problems, right? Just even finding, even the Hackensacks of the world, getting an EMT to sit on the truck, right? So where's the discussion, is maybe there's none, about going countywide?
There was a few years ago, yeah. But that was tabled, and
part of the reason that we were exploring the local regionalization is because there are grant opportunities out there, specifically the LEAP mm-hmm. grant. We really didn't go beyond the scope of our mm-hmm. local area, but I think a countywide EMS system is certainly worth exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note in these situations, time is everything, right? And with what we have going on right now with HMH, they are stationed either in Highlands or in our own squad house. So, you know, I don't, when we go to, if we were to go to a county EMS task force or EMS force, I wonder what that would, what kind of time delays or what they would, what that would create, if any issues at all.
And that's something, again, that the body here that we're speaking with mm-hmm. could reach out to the county. Is there any possibility that you've been thinking about this?
Oh, reach out again.
Timeline on it, but mm-hmm. we haven't heard anything except a few years ago about a county thing, and we haven't heard any talk about that.
And if I may add too, when we were discussing within the task force about proposing a resolution, part of the body of the resolution would be encouraging the county and the state of New Jersey to mm-hmm. to look at a more holistic or a broader approach to solving this problem. Simply as Mr. Baum said, this is not unique to this community in any way.
Not at all.
It's every community in New Jersey with volunteer.
I mean, ideally, it would be nice to see, to the best of our knowledge, we're the only ones that actually formulated a task force as far as the borough of Atlantic Islands. It would be great if we were the front runners. Mm-hmm. I know Councilman Dougherty has something to read later on as far as a proposal, but I mean, if we could get that around to other communities, maybe get state legislators on board to get back to the aid that they used to give us and since taken mm-hmm. away, made it harder for EMTs to get registered and licensed. Maybe we get state funding, maybe we get state aid. There's a lot of opportunities out there, but until our voices get heard with our senators, our congressmen, we're all kind of reaching to the fire. I mean, Middletown's a big town.
Mm-hmm.
They have $250 million sitting in excess budget, and they're still having problems. Mm-hmm. So,
The thing is, people might ask, well, why a resolution here at this level? Because some people might not believe it or not, but whoever's sitting in the governor's seat, they do look at that. So mm-hmm. we start it,
yep.
and one town starts, hey, look at us, we need help. And then another town does it, another town, and we have 50 towns do it. Now, the top in Trenton are going to take note and say, this, there's
you're
a crisis
right.
for the whole state and not just one or
you're,
two small towns.
You're right. Like, I quarterly have meetings with the mayors of the Bayshore, and that is always the top problem that every town on the Bayshore has. What are you doing? You know, what is your EMTs or what does it look like? And they have no answer to that.
Well, if you up there opt to do it and you do a resolution, you can take that to your next meeting and say, here you go.
Exactly. I'll do that before that.
That's, you know, I'm asking a hot
one. It doesn't have to wait.
To their, you know, councils and mm-hmm. say, hey, we need to do this, and it's an emergency that we do the resolution.
Yeah, I agree.
So recruiting is working. You've gotten your numbers up. I know there were 10, I think, active members last year, and now we're up to 17. And I know, Brian, you said 27 or 28, I think, but that's total membership. Yeah, but how's recruiting working for you, and what methods of recruiting are you guys using? Just word of mouth at this point?
Word of mouth, Facebook. We're working on a drive right now with possible building lawn signs. We were going to ask if the mayor and council would be willing to put it up on the kiosk or the billboard outside, maybe on the Facebook page as well, because your reach is a lot deeper than ours.
Yeah.
We do have more members who have joined recently, and we want to continue to grow that. Ideally, in a perfect world, at least the way I see it, like I think I speak for the rest of everyone else, it would be great if we could actually get away from the $90,000 a year and our residents wouldn't have to see the ALS bills come in, the BLS bills come in, and us paying the $90,000 on top of it.
Right.
And although right now it's a tough situation and a tough sell, I know because of the current situation with the budget you guys are looking at, it would be great if we could get away with the $90,000 and we could increase our stipend to increase membership. You know, there's a lot of things right now going on, as Chief Hubney says, you know, we've got an ambulance problem right now.
Right.
You know, we've got to look at that as well. Mm-hmm. They're not cheap. And we've got to continue to try to keep this whole first aid squad going. If we could boost the membership, it'd be great.
Would you want, are there any tools that you want in recruiting, like, well, like a 15 or a 30 second, like, Mr. recruiting Crowley, spot that you could put out?
Councilman Crowley, great. We're the task force. We're not the first aid squad. So there are questions that you might want to put together.
But I'm looking at you guys because you put a lot of brain power into thinking about this. And do you think would that be a tool that would be, in your opinion, as the task force that would be useful?
I would say any tool. Yes. Can be put to good use.
I think that the point is getting members to step up, and really the membership drive you guys are putting out, that should help. When does that letter normally go out in the year? Is that normally
around this time?
Around this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important.
And in combination with all the fundraising efforts that have been going on recently, there was a fundraiser at the Atlantic House. The squad's looking into permits for collections along Route 36 on a busy summer weekend, walking the piers. You know, other bigger, bolder ideas. We're open to everything, and recruiting generally goes hand in hand with a lot of that fundraising.
What studies went into the soft billing in terms of other communities doing it? Are there other communities that have it in-house in terms of the municipality that are doing the billing through a third party for the EMS so the EMS can remain volunteer? Have you guys looked at other communities that are doing that?
Yes. Well, that we did speak with was Springfield Borough. They used to have an all volunteer first aid squad, but what they did go to is they do soft billing. Now, it was hard to talk because I was talking to the chief of the, not exactly sure, and that's when I said it's going to be more beneficial if the town reaches out and because that's who we spoke with on it. Is that I wasn't, the way they were talking about it, I wasn't sure if it was the town. That's why we weren't exactly sure, so we didn't want to just say it was. Or
sure.
We didn't know if it was all just the first aid squad that was doing the soft billing, or, and then I found out, because I had called Clint twice, is that the reason why they had to go, now they're not volunteering anymore. What are they going to do? It's not
they're a hybrid. It sounds like they're a hybrid of some sort.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what they are out there now, because the first state is doing it. But we did hear a little bit of kickback that, and I don't blame them, we've been a first aid squad, volunteer first aid squad since the, you know,
the beginning of time.
The ambulance has been running. So they would rather, and then I call back, and they said that we might want to ask the attorney or whoever to look into it and see if it's even legal for the borough to collect the funds.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
And then and then give that money somehow as a donation or something back to the first aid stuff, but we don't know that.
So do we, obviously, Freehold's a bigger community than our town. No, it's in terms of...
The borough is,
okay. So do we know how much money they're generating?
Yeah, that's why they brought in the rate within the...
Doing the soft billing, so it's bringing in significant...
And they do not go after, like we said, and that was another concern, I think, of the first aid squad, is that they didn't want, you know, billing is because they don't want people to think that they're going to be chased down by collection.
Of course, right.
And all what Freehold Borough does is they do the initial, that's why it's soft billing, the initial bill, and whatever the insurance company...
Or whatever they're willing to pay, they collect. I got it.
And then they won't bother the resident. They never bother.
And it goes straight to the borough or to the volunteer, whatever arrangement it says.
Mm-hmm.
And do we know what the, if any, what startup costs are associated with doing soft billing?
No, because I don't think that was in our hurry to reach out. That's kind of what we did is we were coming up with suggestions and ideas. Not that I wanted to give Rob or Michelle any more work than they already have, but we didn't have that authority to go and push forward into all of that. I would have probably had to go out and speak with the mayor and also the chief of the first aid squad at the time.
Okay.
Right. So we didn't do that. We just didn't think it was more appropriate.
And one of the differences, I mean, check, not more than I do, but the difference also is once you start billing, whether you're getting inspected annually by the Department of Health as opposed to the EMS Council, how many the frequency of the inspections, how many people have to be on the rig, because...
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, well, that's why I was curious to know if it could be done through the municipality, because the way it was presented was if it was done through the municipality, some of those requirements may be alleviated or eliminated or so on.
And that's one of those things. If we go to pay, then we have to put another person on the rig, because you're going to have two MTs on it, you have to put a driver in there as well, and then you got three guys running on the rig. Trying to find three people when you're collecting billing, we haven't crossed five, too.
And when you have 27 people who are available, I got it. I understand.
So, unless we get the membership drive to boost our numbers, it's going to be harder and harder to collect money because you're not going to be able to substantiate through people on it.
So, the drive does not just include BLS and ACLS people. You're talking potentially clerical people also who can actually do the billing, because billing for insurances can be quite complicated.
Well, it was an agency that through government.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you don't have to hire anybody else. You would take on a billing firm, and then they would probably take in a percentage of what they collect, and then the rest would go to the
right. But there'd be no cost to the actual.
So you're not hiring.
Right.
Okay.
Squad.
All right.
Yeah. You're hiring a firm.
Right. Someone needs to create the chit, we call it a chit in the billing world, of what was done and what was the diagnosis. That would be at least the minimum that would have to take place.
Which you already do through Spillman or one of your
Image Trend, right. But there may be HIPAA constraints or, you know, logistical issues there. That was, again, sort of beyond our purview.
Sure.
I think that's why the task force is recommending that the borough look into that specifically, okay, and not the first aid squad.
Thanks, Jim.
Was the borough has paid EMS workers during the day, and then they run the volunteers at night like we do. That was one of the reasons why I reached out to the borough with the borough for him as well.
Sure.
To find out.
All right. You have a resolution?
I do have a resolution in anticipation of this event. So I'll defer to you. So I'd be happy to read this resolution and we can vote on it tonight.
Could you say
or we could put it on our next agenda or whatever you or the council feels is appropriate.
I will have our lawyer look at it before and then you can read it out.
Put it on the next agenda.
You know, we could circulate it amongst the dais and put it on for the next agenda formally.
Yes.
This way, the public is well aware.
Right.
Sure.
Well, and we could read it aloud at the next meeting. I think on the surface, everyone here seems to be for the reading the resolution.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, you know, anticipate any issues. But I think from a formality standpoint, we put it on the next agenda. We read it. And
sounds great.
But I'd like to just add that. So last year, the mayor and I, and I don't know if the police chief was with me, we went to the county to just formally have, you know, a meeting to introduce ourselves and to talk about things on a county level, various different things relative to different county departments and functions. And we did discuss the ambulance situation because you're right on target. Many towns throughout the state and within the county are having this issue. and they acknowledged it as well. They acknowledged the success they had at one point with the Monarch system across Monmouth County. We all know that that does no longer exists. At the time, they did inform us that they would like to see a similar Monarch-type system on the county level reintroduced, but they wouldn't commit to a time frame because they were at the infant stages of talking about it internally on the county level. And, you know, they said it could be 2 years, could be 5 years. You know, we don't know. But you were coming here at a great time because the mayor had just asked me a day or two ago to reach out to the county to just have another yearly meeting with them. So I'll be reaching out to them to schedule that meeting, and this will be one of the items that we'll talk about. So your timing is perfect. And then I'll report back, obviously, what they say.
I think the only thing I would add to that as well is on that letter that goes out, I think it's important to acknowledge the 17 or so running members that have really been putting a lot of work in to get the squad back to where it's at. I think as you acknowledge the problem, it's also important to give credit to those that are bringing it to the point of where it's at right now. A year or so of hard work and time and commitment has gone into the squad and bringing those numbers to where they're at. And I think it's important to make sure that if that is going to go out in a letter, acknowledging the problem, but we also make sure that we let them know what's already been done. You know, I think that's give credit where credit's due.
Okay. And there have been members that have been on prior to even this year or whatever.
Came back.
Why? So, yes.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. And maybe I think that's a great start as well. You know, I've spoken with Lance about that myself, is, you know, bringing past members back. That's a key. You know, those 40 some odd members. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as you yourself, because you're a part of the task force and so is Brian Dougherty, is that we were very, the task force was very mindful of our volunteer first aid squad that were running those raids every day. We wanted to bring forth suggestions that they hopefully won't be angry with us or it won't step on their toes. The only thing really is the thing with bringing the first aid squad back under with the fire department. But other than that, we've tried, you asked for recommendations and solutions, and that's one that could be. But we just, right, and I'm speaking for, we were very, very mindful of our EMS volunteer squad, and we're very appreciative, especially that we dug in deeper to this issue. Mm-hmm. And they have to put up with a lot of rules and regulations on a daily basis. So I, for one, would like to thank the first aid squad on a daily basis for what they do for the town.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If I may just add as well that as the squad's work progressed, the situation changed. When the squad was first formed, it was in a much more dire situation. Task force. But certainly in the last several months, Chief Huveney was involved in our discussions. We wanted to make sure that it was collaborative, that it wasn't this body prescribing solutions onto the squad. That, you know, this was we wanted to be collaborative and sensitive, as Regina had said. And so
great point.
Mr. Bombs, would you mind sharing those spot? Was it A through F plans or A through G plans?
Sure, you can email a copy to the council.
I'd appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I believe Councilman Dougherty and Murphy should have copies of it. I don't know if that can be circulated.
Sure.
I have a brief statement to wrap up. Atlanta County's First Aid Safety Squad has been in operation since 1929. Over those years, the squad has provided life-saving emergency medical care to the residents of Atlantic Highlands on a 100% volunteer basis. Right now, this vital community resource is at a crossroads. Many towns across New Jersey and across this country are having difficulty recruiting volunteers and responding to emergency calls in the way that people have been used to. A confluence of events have led us to a place last year where Atlantic Highlands First Aid was really struggling. The squad was unable to respond to many calls, mostly due to a lack of active membership. Beginning in June of 2022, things started to change. Today, Atlantic Highlands First Aid is responding to more than twice as many calls as compared to a year ago. There are now long stretches of time that 100% of calls are being answered. New members have joined, previously inactive members have been brought back into the fold, and the average response time, which is a really key measure, how long does it take us to get to the patient's side, is down by more than 50%. While all of these are certainly welcome developments, they are far from certain to continue. These outcomes are the result of hours of hard work and dedication from the members, and importantly from the leadership of the squad, specifically Chief Lance Huveney. This task force is acutely aware that, like many organizations, Atlantic Highlands First Aid is largely dependent on the leadership of a few key individuals, and this can pose a significant risk to the continuation of this progress. This progress is also threatened by financial constraints. The LoSAP program in the past has been a significant monetary benefit to attract and retain members. In light of the lack of increases to the LoSAP program, Atlantic Highlands First Aid recently implemented a stipend program to incentivize members to come out for cause. The stipend has been tremendously successful at increasing turnout, but it has come at a cost. The borough donation, being stagnant for years, has eroded the purchasing power of the squad. Inflation has increased all of the squad's operating expenses and impacted their ability to put funds aside on a regular basis to be able to afford to replace their own apparatus. Add in the squad paid stipend out of that same donation, and you have a squad that is operating in the red. In the last few months, Atlantic Highlands First Aid's older apparatus, 8557, had a critical part fail, and it was determined to be unsafe to operate. This apparatus has since been taken out of service, leaving the squad with just one functioning ambulance. This is problematic for two reasons. First, there are regularly occurrences where multiple EMS calls happen at the same time. Without a second ambulance, the residents are dependent on mutual aid for help. Secondly, if any mechanical issues were to occur, the squad would be unable to respond to any calls at all. To be clear, a new ambulance is of the utmost importance, and at this time, the squad does not have the financial resources to replace the ambulance on their own. In light of these financial constraints, the task force is recommending an increased donation from the borough and/or from the harbor. In the past, the squad has been able to put money aside each year to replace their own apparatus. If the borough is able to provide a new ambulance to the squad, as well as increase the donation, the position of this task force is that this would allow the squad to replace the ambulance that has been lost in the short term, as well as allow the squad to replace its own apparatus on an ongoing basis into the future, especially when combined with a likely increase in fundraising at the squad level, resulting from some of the other recommendations we've made tonight. As we outlined above, options F and G, F being full-time third-party coverage, and G being no EMS coverage at all, do not seem to be viable options, and it is our position that the best thing for the town and its residents is for the squad to exist in some form or another. I am certain the membership of the squad would prefer that to be the case as well. We are confident that if our recommendations are implemented, there is a high degree of likelihood that Atlantic Highlands First Aid will be able to provide the same compassionate emergency care that the residents of town have come to know and love. On behalf of this task force, on behalf of Atlantic Highlands First Aid, thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. I want to thank you for all the work that the task force has put in. Art Weimer, who started the task force, I want to thank him for all his time too. And we will be looking into doing the resolution and making it even better. So thank you.
Appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian, Zach, are you going to be here before we go to executive, Regina? Are you going to be here? Are you going to be here before we go to executive session? Just give me 30 seconds of your time.
All right. Thank you. Now we're going to be moving on to the public comment on consent and regular agenda items. How many people on Zoom?
10 attendees, Mayor.
Any hands up?
None at this time.
Okay. Is there any questions, comments? Mr. Fisher?
Mark Fisher, 9130 Avenue. Just a couple of questions. On the May 18th meeting minutes, we did a transcript for that meeting. I've never seen that on the agenda before. Is there a reason why a transcript and not just minutes? Is there some legal thing going on with that?
I mean, I can get back to you, but I believe it might have something to do with the fact that all three municipalities agreed to hire a firm to transcript the meeting, as opposed to three separate record keepings.
Just curious, I've never seen that before. Great job by the EMS task force. It sounds like not only should LoSAP be based on CPI, but so should the stipends for the EMS, that they're always kept whole from year to year. It's great that we're hiring a grant consultant. It's about time. Congratulations to Jimmy. His reappointment and tenure.
He's over there.
There it is. question on ordinance 10. What is the premise of the ordinance? I know you can't go into detail, but I just find it unusual that we're going to be putting handicap parking spaces on public streets.
Oh, so actually, you're getting ahead of me here, Mr. Fisher, but I'm actually going to be asking the dais to table that to the next meeting. I had it put on there a little prematurely. We can explain it at the next meeting a little bit further.
Okay, thank you. No hands up, so I'm going to move on. So the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 100, authorizing sale of the surplus property. Resolution 101, approving the 2023 salary resolution. 102, authorizing the grant consultant services. 103, authorizing planning board assistant. 104, appointing special class 2, Thomas Darby. Resolution 105, approving reappointment and tenure of the DPW superintendent. 106, approving person-to-person transfer of liquor license. And 107, the payment of bills, $444,176.42. I need a motion and a second.
Crowley moves.
I'll second.
Murphy. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
And ordinance 10... I'll make a motion to table it. Okay, I need a second. Okay.
Probably seconds.
Oh, and so now we have a motion and a second. Roll call for table.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Weinleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 10 has been tabled.
Okay, thank you. Now moving on to reports.
Let's keep this train moving. We've got nothing from fire. No update in terms of environmental. We're meeting next week. In terms of recreation, unfortunately, rec had to cancel the older boy and girls summer basketball camps due to low turnout. Those who registered were notified, and refunds will be forthcoming. The two-day camps on July 12th and July 26th for children in K through third will still be held. On a different note, the Chamber of Commerce has regrouped. We have the Classic Car Show this weekend on Sunday. Hopefully weather is cooperative, and it will be a great day. And in terms of Shade Tree, we met last week, and the takeaway is that our public response to our plea for the watering of trees on borough property has been robust. I want to thank all of the residents who have taken the time to keep these trees alive. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I know Jimmy Pizarro just walked out the door, Mary Trank, the scout troops that have taken the time to water these trees on a weekly basis. It's again, the turnout's been great, and we really appreciate it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. Police. In 2021, every officer employed by the police department here in town underwent training with what we call ICAT, which is an integrated communications assessment and tactics training. And recently, four of our Atlanta County's police officers have attended a week-long crisis intervention team training, CIT. And CIT is a county-based collaboration of law enforcement professionals and mental health professionals who are committed to developing a local system of services that's responsive to individuals with mental illness and family members, and also police officers. CIT model strives to provide law enforcement officers and mental health professionals with knowledge and skills that allow them to respond to the individual in psychiatric crisis in a manner that minimizes the potential for injury. In addition, CIT can be instrumental in helping to divert the individual with serious mental illness from the criminal justice system and into an appropriate mental health treatment center or environment. One incident the reason why we're mentioning this is because there was one incident that just happened here in town that required Sergeant Gurian and Patrolman Anderson to respond to a male who was in serious emotional distress. Sergeant Gurian arrived on the scene, and both officers immediately used their training that they received to effectively get this person the sort of help that he needed without anybody getting harmed or having to use any force. So the amount of respect that both those officers showed to this individual was impressive, and it represents the high standards of policing here in Atlantic Highlands. So the bottom line to all this is that if the Atlantic Highlands Police Department can help you or anybody in the community who's in a crisis situation or even contemplating suicide, we'd like to make sure that everybody's aware that they are trained to provide the necessary and confidential resources that that person may need. And you can also call 988, which is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week crisis situation hotline where you can get help, or you can of course call the Atlantic Highlands Police Department. So thank you, Chief. I think I see you back there for getting the gang through all of that. DPW, Mr. Phillips, congratulations. Well earned, well deserved. First Avenue and Edwards Way bump out that was damaged, I think a lot of you know, by a vehicle that backed into the brick wall. Insurance is covering the masonry's cost, or the contractor's cost, and the work has just been completed. Trimming of branches and overgrowth over the next few weeks, DPW will be doing a townwide sweep to trim branches and limbs all around street signs and over curbs to make sure all the borough signage is visible to the motoring public. DPW safety training. Members have conducted the 2023 annual safety training. A tremendous amount of time is taken each year for safety training, and it takes hundreds of staff hours, with the staff taking dozens of classes, and you guys are working your way through that, so thank you for doing that. And also, this is interesting, take notice, maybe you've seen them already, there are sun protection signs. RWJ Barnabas Health has provided the borough with signs talking about sun protection tips, and there's a QR code that you can shoot with your phone, and it'll give you tips on how to protect yourselves from heat and also sun damage. So that's sort of cool. I also see Morgan Spicer here. Morgan and I have been working up, she's been doing all the work on a great poster for the upcoming music and truck food festival. And so that'll get posted very, very soon. It looks great, Morgan. Thank you very much. And that'll go on. That's Sunday, August 13th. 15 food trucks and 4 live bands, arts and crafts vendors, and a beer garden. So that'll be pretty cool. First Aid Squad. We've talked a lot about it, but let me just bolster some of the things that were said here. In May of this year, the First Aid Squad answered 29 calls. That's versus 19 one year ago. Also, there are new lights that were just placed on the Polaris, our emergency vehicle. So that's up to code. There's a new Spillman communication system, which has been installed in the house and also in our ambulance, and that aligns with the county system, which is great for facilitating better communication. And also one more stat here. So far this year, we've had 196 calls answered. So that's quite an increase over where we were last year. Mayor, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Seniors Committee, I'm reporting out that the club did meet as scheduled on 6/12 with around 60 members present. The trip to Martha's Vineyard was very successful and highly enjoyable, reportedly. I was not there. I did want to bring up a resource for us to keep an eye on, is that the Senior Freeze expansion program is ready for the state budget, so we'll be keeping an eye on the State House of whether that's approved, and that will be a big help for those seniors who have some difficulty meeting their tax obligation. In terms of OEM, Sarah Weimer sent me a very long report, not quite as long as John's, but I will read this to you. She wanted to reassure everybody that all emergency services, that's fire, EMS, and law enforcement, and the marshal's office have submitted their incident action plans for the fireworks events.
Nice.
Fire, EMS, and police have requested and confirmed that there will be enough mutual aid agencies available to provide support for the event as well as the rest of the town. All units will be strategically placed to provide efficient response throughout the harbor and the rest of the town. All emergency services will meet the night of the event for an operational briefing. Okay? So that's EMS. And thank you very much, Sarah, for your report, as well as the cooperation that we have in this town for our big event over the fireworks. And lastly, I have nothing to report on the Vets Committee at this particular point. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everybody. No report tonight for finance or personnel. I do have a brief report for Fire Department, and that is regarding our big event coming up. The Fire Department is still seeking volunteers to help run the Fireman's Fair to be held July 4th through July 8th. Interested parties should call 732-291-1444, extension 3605, and leave a message. There will also be a sign-up genius posted to the borough's website sometime in the next few days, so check for that. EMS Task Force, just want to reiterate our thanks to Chairman Zach Brown, former Chair Art Weimer, and Task Force members Regina Keelan and Brian Bobbs for all your efforts over the past many months. Well done, a great presentation tonight. Thank you. And finally, Planning Board. The Planning Board's next regular meeting is scheduled for Thursday, July 6th at 7 p.m. here in this room and on Zoom. There will also be a special meeting on Tuesday, July 18th at 7 p.m. to hear application PB02-23, 160 First Avenue. It is a completed application. The meeting will be held here in this room and on Zoom. And since seating is limited, we are exploring ways to provide overflow capacity if necessary. And as mentioned, the meeting will be available on Zoom. So we're going to definitely try to spread the word. But for those who are interested in hearing that application in person, please come early. And once we reach capacity, we will have to ask people to participate via Zoom. Mm-hmm. We did look at alternate locations. We were unable to identify a suitable one for this special meeting. If any future special meetings are required, we'll continue to look for alternate locations. And that's it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
And birthday girl. Thank you, Mayor. I'll be very, very brief. The Harbor Commission has not met since our last council meeting, but there was a really nice cleanup of the dredge pit. Mr. Perugino sent pictures to the Harbor Commission. It looks great. And there's been a lot of work done, maintenance work done in the harbor in preparation for the Fireman's Fair. The mayor, myself, and Mr. Colasurdo all attended the blessing of the fleet for the Yacht Club. And thank you,
I'm
Mayor.
I'm getting my hair.
I was just going to say thank you for the earplugs.
Thank you for attending.
But it was a very nice event, and there was a nice reception after.
Mm-hmm.
And prizes were given for best turnout it was fun. The chief of police, myself, and the majority of, I think, the off members of the police department took a trip to Matawan on Monday to say congratulations to our former special officer Cheeseman, who is now a patrolman in Matawan. So I made sure to give my friend Dina Gunn, who's the council president in Matawan, a little bit of a piece of my mind, but it was a really nice event, and it was nice that so many, I think the Matawan folks felt really good about how well attended it was by Atlantic Highlands representatives, including Brittany, Jesus' girlfriend, so that was nice. On Saturday I attended, I was lucky to be able to attend because the car show was canceled. Unfortunately, the Atlantic Highlands Arts Council ran a trip out to the Grounds for Sculpture in Hamilton, which was a really nice event, and they look forward to planning more events like that so that we can have the community involved in the Arts Council. But it was a mix of people, not just from Atlantic Highlands, and it was a nice day out there. And then finally, I reported at the last meeting about open space. Doug's probably going to speak a little bit about South Avenue Park, but that's it for me.
Great, thank you.
Murphy. All right, thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things to add to some reports. As far as the harbor goes, members of the operations committee, myself, Mr. Sutton, and harbor manager Mr. Flieger met with one of the boat owners this past Wednesday to discuss some concerns they have. We're going to be addressing that with the entire harbor committee.
and how we can resolve those issues. As far as the first aid squad, in June, we've already responded to, the squad has already responded to 24 calls. So that's all being done by basically 17 members or so that are the running members. So a big shout out to those that are stepping up. As we all know, the Fireman's Fair is coming up. Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad plays a vital role in the Fireman's Fair that we all love. Part of the Chief's emergency response plan was put into place to ensure the safety of our residents. Part of this plan was to reach out to 5 additional EMS squads that offered their services if needed. The Chief would like to publicly thank the following squads of surrounding areas: Highlands, Rumson, Port Monmouth, Union Beach, and Elberon. As we all know, training is a key element of strengthening the squad. Members of the squad completed a high-level training with the Monmouth County Sheriff's Department and the Sandy Hook Coast Guard recently on simulated active shootings scenarios. Went far better than expected, and is training that all hope to never need to utilize. As we've mentioned many, many times, squad is always looking for new members. And if anybody is remotely interested in joining the squad, please email info@ahfirstaid.org. To add to the DPW report, Mayor, brush pickup, all zones have been completed. Anything out now is in violation. Reminder, DPW does one pass through each zone. Watering truck, DPW has converted a vehicle to assist in tree and vegetation watering in the event of another drought. Residents are welcome to assist in watering plants and trees in your area that are in need during critical drought times. Townwide sweeping, DPW will be doing another townwide sweeping prior to the 4th of July holiday weekend. Recycling, DPW would like to thank the town residents that take the time to correctly sort and process their recycling. Reminder, please tie and or bundle your cardboard and paper products. Borough calendar, please refer to the borough calendar for all additional information regarding DPW. I did bring my own DPW report this time, so everything's accurate that I know of.
Thank you.
And I believe that is it, Mayor. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Before we go on to the administrator's report and professionals, I just want to congratulate all the students from the town that graduated this year, and especially our admirals. I want to congratulate them. I know they're going to do great things. And I want to point out 2 admirals, Samaras Gutierrez, who will be going into the Marine Corps, and Jesse Jacobs will be going into the Air Force. So the best of luck for all of them. And I want to thank these 2. So that's it.
Mayor, on that line of thought, tonight we approved our special class 2. And Tommy is a graduate from Hudson,
yes,
and is the son of our former sergeant Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great guy.
That's
and
awesome.
So when I saw that come through, I was excited that we get a homegrown that's coming
mm-hmm.
onto
awesome.
Staff here, part of the squad. So that's, and he was a great ball player too, by the way, for the Admirals.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's great. Yes.
Well, thank you. So now moving on, administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. So first, before I begin, the DPW report that the councilman incorrectly read last meeting was my fault. So I have to acknowledge that. He asked me to print out the report from him prior to the meeting, and I printed out the wrong report. So I apologize, councilman.
No, it was quite all right.
All right.
No big deal at all. Nobody even noticed.
All right. As for my report this evening, the borough received notification that Governor Murphy signed Executive Order 334 ordering the flag of the U.S. and the flag of New Jersey to be flown at half-staff on Wednesday, June 21, in recognition and mourning of Senator Jim Hurley, a lifelong public servant. The borough obviously complied with that request. As was done last year, my office applied for the HIF, which is the Health Insurance Fund Wellness Grant, and was awarded that grant once again. I'm happy to report. The $9,700 will be used for another borough employee wellness fair to take place on September 12th at the Senior Center. So I'm happy to report that. My office has applied for a spotted lantern fly program treatment grant through New Jersey's Department of Agriculture Division of Plant Industry. I am happy to report that we have been awarded the grant in the amount of $15,000. The signboard in front of Borough Hall cannot be repaired and has been removed. Flowers have been planted in that area, and the borough will seek funding in 2024 for a new signboard. The U.S. flag drop box at the senior center has been relocated to Borough Hall, excuse me, across from the restrooms out there in the hallway. DPW repainted the box and placed an American flag and eagle above it on the wall. If when you leave this evening, if you want to check it out, it's really nice.
And their first flag.
I saw that.
Yes, we did. Yeah, flags are already being dropped in there. And I want to thank resident Morgan Spicer, who has agreed to paint a specific verbiage on that box. So that'll add a nice artistic element and patriotic element, so we appreciate that. And the inoperative antenna pole behind the sewer pumping station building has been removed and repurposed, thus reducing the visual pollution in that area. This is in the vicinity of First and Bay. The borough's next council meeting will be held on Thursday, July 13th, and that's all I have, Mayor.
Well, thank you. And either one.
I actually have nothing to report except that we were delighted to have had the opportunity to draft a proclamation at the recommendation of Ms. Muriel Smith for her to start in the next month, National Independence Observation Month. Everything else is privileged.
Thank you.
And that's my thank you, Mayor and Council. Very briefly, our plans for the reconstruction of East Garfield and repaving of Grand Avenue are substantially complete within the upcoming month. We will be submitting the plans to DOT for review and approval. Hopefully we can get that project awarded well ahead of the DOT award deadline, which is October of this year. Moving forward with the next round of DOT grants at the end of this month, the 2024 grant applications are due. We're ahead of the schedule. We have our cost estimates ready to go, and we're requesting approximately $400,000 for road improvements in the next program. Center Ave Park, the CDBG-funded restroom buildings, our survey and base map have been completed at this point. Very soon you'll see our geotechnical sub-consultants on-site advancing borings to support foundation design, and we'll move that project forward. And then lastly, I have South Avenue Park. We've been working with the ESCNJ contractors to update their cost estimates for at least a portion of the project. So based off public input that was received last year, the non-regulated areas on the site, we have preliminarily programmed the site. And as you're aware, the current cost estimate for the improved site exceeds the funding that's in place at this time. And that's mainly because it's not just simply a playground replacement from what was there, but there were additional amenities. There was landscaping, buffers, picnic tables, ADA access, benches, and basketball goals as well. The court itself was already paid for. So what we're doing is working with these ESCNJ vendors to give us an update on one potential packaging of the playground itself and the port-in-place rubber safety surface to see if we could get that packaged up within the available funding, allowing us to pull the trigger on an initial phase while the rest of the funding is worked out. So as soon as I have that in place, we can report back and we can try to advance that a little further.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so how many people on Zoom right now, since we're going to be moving into public comment? Any hands?
No hands at this time.
Okay. Eight people, no hands. And now we're going to... Okay. Yes, sir. Come. Josh.
Josh wanted to go 60 days ahead, right? I wanted, before we go out of Pride Month, I was listening to the discussion, and I thought I'd tell you that a guy named Robert Sapolsky, who is a neuroendocrinologist, professor of biology, neurology, and neurosurgery at Stanford, who spent 25 years studying primates in Kenya, In this book, Behave, Biology of Humans in Old Testament, which says, we all start out as women, as females, mm-hmm. and then the men then change. He says 3% there are talents. And so the people who say, I feel like a woman trapped in a man's body, they're telling the truth. It's not that they have bad parents or suffered some trauma. It's biological. And you can see why they feel isolated. There's only 3% of them. And people act like they've done something wrong or sinful. So they do feel like killing themselves. So I think the flag's a good idea. It's not a zero-sum game. People have been fought in all our wars. My only objection to the flag is it reminds me of the Union of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's the design. But anyway, I think you did a good thing putting up the flag, and you should keep up doing it. The second thing, I'm going to raise again, the school consolidation formula. Spoke to Mr. Ferragina, who said he'd ask Mr. Beneke to contact me. He didn't do it. I called Mr. Beneke. His mailbox was full. Mr. Ferragina gave me his email. I sent him the email. I received no response. I would like to know the logic of the formula. Mm-hmm. I think that's all. The other thing is, I think you should, you're passing resolutions to make people who work with kids go through background checks. But the biggest threat, you'll be unhappy to hear that we're the only country in the developed world where firearm deaths is now the number one cause of death of kids between the ages of 1 and 19. Just ahead now of traffic deaths. But in Monmouth County, we've had 15 highway deaths so far this year, 6 pedestrians and 1 bicyclist, which means almost half of the highway deaths in Monmouth County are pedestrians and bicyclists. So I would urge you to help Mr. Ferragina do whatever he needs to do to get the cars off the sidewalk at Bayshore Plaza. So we're not forcing kids and old people to walk in parking lots or on the street. It's a sidewalk. I don't know why Mr. Hugany said he couldn't find the border, but it's a danger. And we've had kids killed on the highway, and I think you should do something about it. And the final one is, I think you should move ahead with the drug store or whatever, because the most important thing now for the safety of our children is that they don't take fentanyl, which means you don't want them to be taking drugs that they don't buy, that they buy on the street. There, so far this year in Monmouth County, there have been 247 not solemn deployments, which means there have probably been more overdoses than 247. 13 of the not-so-long deployments died, and we get 35 overdose deaths. The fentanyl thing, one of the problems is, culturally, you have all this music and stuff left over from the 60s, when people were getting high on oregano. Now the drugs are much, much, much more powerful, and so you have to do something. Kids are dying from making one mistake. It's just not right. And here in Atlantic Highlands, we say, oh, we have to take care of the kids. Give them an opportunity to get their drugs, if they're going to use them, that they know are free from adulteration. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Any other hands? Oh, Mr. Fisher.
Ellen.
Oh, okay. I guess we're just...
Hi, Ellen O'Dwyer, 31 East Lincoln Avenue. The Historical Society has kicked off their Music at the Mansion series. The next concert is June 29th, which is next Thursday. Patty C. and the Pines featuring rock, reggae, and country, beginning at 7:30 p.m. $20 a ticket at www.ahhistory.org. And both the Historical Society and the Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary are selling raffle tickets at the car show on Sunday. So I'm encouraging residents to come with cash because that's the easiest way to get them. And visit both tables if they can on Sunday.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fisher. Oh. Okay. Okay.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. I know there was supposed to be a meeting of the Harbor Finance Committee and the Borough Finance Committee about increasing the, I guess the right word is contribution from the Harbor to the Borough.
So there was a meeting of the Atlantic, of the Harbor Finance Committee along with our CFO, and we discussed all the regulations around that. There's actually some, there's just going to need to be some further conversation with our auditor because the state of New Jersey views contribution from the harbor to the municipality in a different way. And that was part of the commentary on when we submitted our budget. So our auditor is now involved and there'll be further updates.
Was the, I guess the EMS, I don't know, fire is involved, whether they get stipends or not, was that included in that conversation? Now that I'm hearing what I heard tonight, the task force.
Wait, can you ask that question again? I'm trying to understand what you're...
The stipend that the harbor pays to EMS.
So it's a shared service, actually. So it's the total amount that basically the Harbor Commission pays half of what the annual contribution from the municipality is.
Thank you. Simple yes or no answer, Mr. Ferry. Anything new on the total bill? Yeah.
Not that I can report.
Okay. Thank you. Fingerprinting and background. Was there any discussion on changes to that amendment? I know the attorney last month or last meeting made some suggestions about possibly including any youth organization that operates in the borough, whether that they could be compelled to follow the same program for consistency, or the same ordinance for consistency. Was there any discussion on that?
No. I think what I said, Mr. Fisher, is that our ordinance covers them if they're operating whatever they're doing on borough property. Right.
But you continue by saying that
if we want to do more, we'd have to add something. Yes.
Change, we could possibly include private operators, but that it may count. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I said.
I would
so, yeah.
On trying rather than worrying about it being count.
So if council directs me, I'll be happy to take a look at that and make an amendment to the ordinance.
Okay, I'll suggest that the council suggest my anything new on Mother Teresa?
Not that we can report.
Fee schedule revisions. There was discussion at the last meeting about going back to the fee schedule ordinance that was passed. Any discussion on including other fees for the road openings? That was what it said about, basically.
I don't think we've...
We talked about having the engineer take a look at it to see if there was some justification for the differential.
Oh, the change of that.
But I don't know that Doug was asked.
Right.
Yeah, Doug wasn't here last time.
Yeah, it was Drew.
We are still working on that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We heard about South the end of the report. I haven't heard anything about cannabis in a while.
We're still trying to line up the information session, but we did. Smart Castle's given us some dates because we think that perhaps more people want to attend than the fire marshal would allow in this building, so we're working on a date.
Okay. The Masonic Lodge, just information. On the real estate website, it says that the sale is pending, whatever that means in real estate lingo, but it sounds like it's getting close to a sale. So, as I stated at the last meeting, there's a lot of rumors going around by the people mm-hmm. in the neighborhood that I'm hearing, because I live in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But just be aware when you have this discussion about 161st, it's going to spill over into that bumper. Mm-hmm. AM radio.
So, I don't remember what I told you last time. The antenna is up on the roof. The radio is installed in the closet, and the cable run has gone down the raceway from the roof down to the radio. And the last two things that we need to do are IT related, which I just wrote to you, Mr. Perugino, about. We need IT to come in and hook up the Ethernet hardwire cable to the back of the radio, and then we're doing another line across the ceiling. So it's just two more cable runs, and then it'll be ready. So hopefully soon, in the next 2 weeks.
When you start it up, I'm going to light out the screen and hook it up there.
You'll be able to hear it everywhere.
OSAP, the CPI annual increase?
It was budgeted.
It was budgeted?
Mm-hmm.
That includes fire and EMS.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Mr. Farragina just information to put the Board of Education meetings on the borough calendar. I feel that's kind of a missing, it's two of the most important meetings. Yeah. They spend the most money in the borough. I feel it should be on the borough calendar next year. And that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Barbato.
Paul Barbato, 22 Laurie Road, aka Lousy Road.
Move up a little. Yep. Yeah. Because, yeah. You can see that the sticker. Yep.
Okay.
Good?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not here to complain tonight, okay? But I'm going to make two statements. One is, I do want to thank the first aid squad. They saved my life about 2 years ago in November. My former neighbors, the owners of the house, didn't take care of their trees. There was a little problem with some wind, and one of their branches came, hit me in the head, and the response was, the first aid came in 5 minutes and got me to the hospital. So I want to thank you for saving that life. The other thing is, what I wanted to speak about is the, Mr. Perugino, this is okay, I'm just going to use some information in the council. The pole, the telephone pole, will be installed. We did the mark out, everybody did what they had to do, so hopefully next week, on the 28th, the pole will be there, or installed. But I do have one question, because it is a dead-end street. That part of Laurie is dead-end, and it's very dark. So, I had asked the contact person from JCP&L, I said, well, since you're putting the pole up, is there any way you can put a lamp on that? Because it's the last pole, it's very dark, and you're putting up a new pole. He said, I'll get back to you. Okay, he gets back to me, which is very diligent, and I appreciate it. And he says, well, you gotta ask the borough for permission. They have to give their approval to us to put a lamp on there. So I'm asking you to look into that matter, because mm-hmm. it would be very helpful, because it is dark there, okay? It's a dead end, and it would be helpful for people, especially the traffic, going mm-hmm. back and forth. Okay?
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll quit. Go ahead.
And it's 5-6-20 Woods Drive. We have a couple broken record, repeat, whatever thing they repeat on every single time here, so I'll just go quickly to the Medicare for All resolution. Mm-hmm. I feel like some really great arguments coming tonight about the importance of resolutions and what they can accomplish, especially in mass, and what sounds like they're going to do it. As I mentioned before, I think 14-15 sound like in New Jersey already had them. Resolutions are going to be the first, but it would be great if you do that, especially with what we offer tonight. People are afraid to call the ambulance in general because of the healthcare system we currently have, so pairing whatever decision we make about task force with the decision to make past the Medicare for All resolution, which is going to show the compassion towards the situation, not just in that crown, but the country at all. that's on Roland Road being directed. The other one is, I know we talked about maybe the town having an email blast and it links directly to residents in the email on a daily basis, monthly basis, weekly, whatever. I feel like being able to tell residents when you're honoring an employee, if it's an emergency, maybe setting up litter cleanups, an ambulance, whatever. I think if that is not already in the works, I think for sure, I feel like that would be a valuable asset. And at this point, I think like email seems like the best way to reach people because that board out front, I don't know if it's so verbal, but it would be great. People don't always drive past, some people don't live in the air per se, so they're going to see it. Another reason is just go straight to email. So there's that. And the reason I came tonight is specifically about the marina. The trash situation, which is like, I don't know what has happened, but it's out of control. Every time I go, Zach and I have dogs, whenever we're going to pick up their business, we always try to pick up trash so that we're fully utilizing the plastic to pick up the garbage, and we just like can't even stop. We've been picking up trash for 20 minutes, and there's still more to pick up. So the reason I wanted to come tonight was that it seems that there's mowing happening, obviously, to keep the grass nice and short, but that mowing is happening right on top of the litter. And some plastic is just getting like shredded a little bit, and it's just like it's all been under the water or stay in the grass, and it just looks horrible. And I feel like it just says a lot about how we
I appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Your backyard, and it is all over the place around that area. So either we could figure out coordination to try to get some real volunteers to come out and clean up, and have we've been doing like kind of Pride Day with it before mowing happens, so I don't know if the mowing is a weekly or monthly basis, but I feel like before the mowing needs to happen, so I think safety issues are worse. And as a very happy to be as a part of the Environmental Commission and Green Team, there's just not enough manpower to do all the things that need to be done. So if something could be done through the council to empower residents to get involved in keeping our marina clean, you know, there's a grant person, maybe there's something I think they're going to hire someone part-time to do it themselves instead of putting notice on volunteers, just something because, I mean, it's gross and sad.
And then just as a follow-up to that, remember, you know, when the mower cuts plastic or whatever, it's like the smaller stuff for some purposes as well. If you have the dog, they're going to hire like the plastic when it becomes a real issue.
Yeah, and it seems to be getting worse. So the last part on that, I was just going to say, I don't know if there are laws preventing littering in town, like if you can take it on someone sees you. I could not, I looked, but maybe I missed if there is any signage saying whatever, $100, $200 fine for littering. If you just put out those signs, like would that deter, you know, some percentage of people are doing it, specifically if black people fly as street customers, and maybe have no reason to take pride in the town, and maybe that's where most of this is coming from, I'm not sure. But maybe the signage could be thought of, and have a good day.
Thank you.
Morgan, I know it's not completely the answer to what you're talking about, but Fish, Mr. Fisher, maybe you know also, just yesterday I got a blast that we're testing from the website, from hnj.com, for the planning board agenda. So I'll check with our manager on that website and see where we're at with also getting the agendas out for the other committees. So if you sign up for it, you'll get that. That'll be an email blast that you can look at, and you can say, you can look at the agenda and see what's going on. So it's not exactly a newsletter, but it's a step in the right direction, and I'll see where we're at with that process.
No. Sorry.
Commissioner, you mentioned asking the task force about a 30-second ad or whatever. I know that people have asked Mr. Kasten if he would put something up in the theater before a movie. It would be a good time now that we have to report the numbers and the situation and just say we're going to do this, whether it's, if it's 30 seconds or an image of Lance and a couple other people.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to Brian and Zach about, that I've had that discussion, and then gentlemen, if you give me 10 seconds of your time afterwards, because we can do that. We can produce that. I've already lined up an edit bay and also a cinematographer so that we can do it. I just need a couple of bits of information for you for a script, actually. And we can create something like that, and we can air it over there. And you guys can put it on social wherever you want.
Okay, thank you. Here we go. Go ahead, Jess.
afternoon, I'll spend 29 by the governor. Have we heard anything from the commissioner of education? Have we heard from them?
We don't have any updates regarding that.
Do we ask her if there's any?
So we work through.
Or do we just sit and wait for her to?
So we work through our professionals regarding this matter, and we have not heard any updates from our professionals. As soon as they hear from, they reached out, as soon as they hear back, they will let us know.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We don't communicate directly with the secretary. We work through our professionals.
Right.
Mr. Giacobbe, Mr. Benneke. As soon as we hear back, as soon as they hear back from the secretary, we will find out. They have not heard back as of this moment, that I'm aware of.
I'm sorry.
That's good.
My question was, do the professionals then contact her and say, you know, can you give us any idea how long it's going to take, or have you received it, or are you working on it, or do you just wait to hear back from her?
So we are aware that they've reached out to the secretary, and we were told we would hear as soon as they hear back from the secretary. That's all I have to report.
Okay, so they just need to hear back from her.
That's all I have to report.
And tell me again, do we know how long, what's the deadline in order to get it on the ballot in November?
I don't have that deadline information in front of me. I can get that for you, but I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
If it's the same as last year, it's the beginning of, if it was the same as last year, we have to have it by the beginning of September.
I've heard a couple different dates, so I would appreciate it if Mr. Gene could get that.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right. I don't see any hands, so I'm going to have a motion and a second to go in to executive session.
I'll second.
Okay.
I wanted to correct that. Resolutions go to executive session because I think the box that we checked was not the right box. It could be number 7.
Okay.
So,
okay, so all in favor? And we'll be, we have, no, but how long? 15, 20 minutes, everyone.
And no action.
And no action. Get out of here! Hey, there's a man! So, I need a motion and a second to come out of executive session.
So moved, everybody.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Now I need a motion and a second to adjourn.
So moved, Murphy said.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, and happy birthday, and enjoy.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Okay. Woohoo.
What is this for?